That invitation. But for the most part, the majority of the Muslim societies or nations of this earth have disregarded that invitation. They were, how come you favor Khomeini and he's a fanatic, a radical? God cares more about a fanatic, a radical, who will try to take up the challenge, pick up the cause, than he cares about hypocrites who are pleasing everybody just so they don't disturb the water. I'm not favoring his image over any other person's image, but I'm telling you that because that man at least has the courage to say, this is not your territory, you will not bring in your Western influences, you will not dictate to us, we have our own religion, God gave it to us, if we want to be under Islamic rule, we are going to be under it, now leave us alone or suffer the consequences. I'm saying that a man that had that courage, though he be a little too full of wine. What I mean by that, the wine of religious devotion. Though he be a little too filled or too full with the wine of religious devotion, God will come to his aid quicker and with more power and support than he will to the aid of a hypocrite that's scared to stir the water. Afraid to risk criticism from those who will criticize. So that old man is about 150 years old. They thought he should have been dead about 80 years ago. He's still over there living, still ruling. And they done tried everything, a Bay of Pigs and everything else. And the man's still over there because God says, though he's a little tipsy, he got the courage to stand up for truth in my way. He has God's protection. And you people, and most of you, all are wine heads. But if you accept, you'll see, you'll have God's protection. I'm talking about religious freedom. I hope tomorrow to carry this talk and complete this talk tomorrow. I'm talking about the yearning, the natural yearning in us coming from the circumstances in Africa to the horrible circumstances of slavery in these United States. The yearning in us for religious freedom. And now the blessing of coming into the community of Al-Islam and the great responsibility of establishing your Islamic life, but it requires that you share responsibility, that you share decision making, that you leave not your properties and your investments to one man, but seek out honorable, decent, loyal, trustworthy people, form boards, form committees, hold each other responsible, protect your invested interests. The wonderful events in these past 10 years. When I became your leader, that was a wonderful event. How come that was a wonderful event? You may not can see it right now, but if you think about it, especially you learned men and women, if you think about it seriously, you will agree with me that nothing has happened more significant in the life of black people on this continent than my coming into leadership after Elijah Muhammad. It ain't nothing you can see right away. But take it with you. Take it home with you. That was a wonderful event. The son of a man they called a black supremacist. The son trained by the father to really obey his false god, who was taught from infancy to pray to a man by the name of Farad, and had no other knowledge except that, so he prayed to a man called Farad and thought he was the Lord of the world. Not only me, but all my brothers and sisters thought the same. Especially the young ones who hadn't experienced anything else. Who believed that the white man was inherently wicked, that he was the real devil. And was recruited in the FOI to be a soldier for God, carrying the message until God come with the material hardware to remove the white man from the face of the earth. Yes, that's what I was taught, that's what I was told, that's what I was given, that's what I believed, until my mind began to grow out of it to look for better understanding. The son of a man that the public press said was the counterpart or the other side of the KKK, huh? But the son of Elijah didn't choose to follow the way of Elijah. He chose to follow the way of Muhammad of the Quran. And then came into the leadership and kept the following after making such drastic turn from what the whole temple on the so-called Nation of Islam had accepted. We didn't have any battles. A lot of the church people, they can't meet over small issues without fighting, dissolving their government bodies, forming new government bodies. But we remained, we kept the same people and the same, even the same staff. I kept the same staff, Elijah Muhammad's staff, his national secretary. Well, I guess there has to be one among in every situation. But I kept him too for a long while. I'm talking about Farquhar. For a long while, he didn't go nowhere. He was right here with us too. You would have thought that the following would have gone down to nothing, but it didn't. The people who supported the Honorable Elijah Muhammad the most became my most loyal, most dependable supporters. They believed that the white man was the devil, grafted devil. They believed that the man Farad was God in the flesh, born of a father, came here to save the black man. They believed that. They believed it so much they would give their paycheck just to promote that. And they were poor people. Now that particular audience, that particular congregation, accepted me while I turned the whole thing around. Changed the whole order. I say that was a wonderful achievement. Wonderful achievement. It wasn't possible because of me, because of my doing. It was possible because of God's doing. The determination in you for religious freedom. You didn't want to go back to the church. you weren't no atheist. You came to the arm of Elijah Muhammad because you were God-fearing.
So you didn't want to go back. You wanted to go forward.
And because God made an opportunity in me for you to go forward and yet still be Muslim, you had no alternative but to say, I'm staying with the Son.
That's right.
Huh?
Yeah.
Wonderful achievement. God made it possible, but we all share. That stayed with it, we all have a share in it. Wonderful achievement. God even brought some of the forces of the jinn to help that situation. And you remember me saying to you almost 10 years ago, saying Solomon had jinn supporting him in his army. That's what Allah says in the Quran. Yes, some of the jinn, they're gone now, but they were helping me when they were here. I don't want to call them by name, but there were some big jinns among us. And not only that, some jinns in the government quarters, some jinns in the private sector, outside of the community, they looked at it and said, hey, this looks good. If I can secretly give some support to this, if I can use my influence, my instrument to aid it in some way, I'm willing to do it. They lent their support. We appreciate whatever anybody did to help make possible what occurred. But God was the master planner. Couldn't have been done without him. In fact, it was his plan. Yes. Now, dear beloved Muslims, we are here in the community of Al-Islam. We are with the Quran. We know the Quran is our authority. There's no authority above the Quran for Muslims. We know Muhammad is the one to demonstrate that authority to us, how we live that in our lives and in the life of the society, in our relationship with each other and with non-Muslims. We know that. But Prophet Muhammad, he said, I leave you with two authorities. For as long as you hold to them and don't deviate, you will not go astray. And he named them, he said, they are the Quran and my own demonstration of how that book is to be lived, called his Sunnah. Praise be to Allah. We have that. But if we don't study the Quran, if we don't read it and become familiar with it, if we don't study the life of Prophet Muhammad and become familiar with the events in his life, with his personality, with his principles, his spirit, his temperament, his wisdom, if we don't get acquainted with that, somebody can come behind me and take you into something that will be as foreign to this as the old was. And you will still be calling yourselves Muslim because you don't know what it is in its true content. Don't waste your time, you youngsters, you teenagers, you young students, you bright-minded youngsters. Don't waste your time following these stupid people who bribe you to recruit you into their slave-making thing and promise you nothing but animal pleasures. Don't be fooled by them. Look at what has happened. Go talk to the wise if your mind ain't strong enough. Go talk to the wise in religion. Talk to the wise in science and ask them what they think about the history of this community and the transition brought on by my leadership with the help of God. Ask them what they think about Imam Muhammad, his personality and what he's doing. Ask them what they think about it. So you will get another point of view from people who have credit and not be recruited in by these Uncle Toms, these slaves of the establishment. And when you are convinced by your own intelligence that what Imam Muhammad represents is the best opportunity for us, is the more dignified thing to support, then lay to it. Put your brain to it. Put your heart in it. And put your brain to it. And spend your energies advancing the life content of the Muslims, as it is in the Quran, as it is in the Sunnah, and as I have tried to represent it. That's the need. Because I'm not going to live, I'm going to die. And maybe sooner than you think. Yes, who knows? And what will happen with you all still looking for a Jesus to take all of your responsibilities upon his shoulder? God never intended no such. That's a message for the people they want to exploit. They want to take out of the race. Religious freedom is what you still should be seeking. You're Muslim, but the message of freedom is subtle, but it's stronger in this religion than it is in any other religion. But when we pray, we can't even leave it to the imam to pray for us. We have to know our own prayer. We have to know how to do it by ourselves. We have to keep the sunnah of the prophet. After the imam has prayed, you have to be able to stand by yourself and pray. So what is the real meaning of the prophet's sunnah? True democracy. True democracy. Where the individual is capable of leadership for himself. That's the real message of his sunnah. That the individual must share in the responsibility for carrying the burden of society. He must be able to carry out the functions alone, the knowledge for how to live and carry the burden or the weight of government and society must not be on one man's shoulder, but on the shoulder of all of them. And if they understand the sign of Christ, that is a sign. Yes, for they say Jesus is the one promised in one of those books in the Bible, I can't recall it right now. Says, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Wonderful counselor, etc., etc. Huh? But did Jesus say he was a symbol of one man? No. He said, I in the Father, and you in me. And you in me, meaning that I have my strength in obedience to God. They use the expression, they call it the body of Christ, huh? And they refer to the members of the church, which don't you know every church is a government? A lot of preachers don't know it, but this land and this law allows religion to have its own independent government. And they are supposed to be the members in that government, and it is supposed to be shouldered by all the members in that body, and Christ is a sign of that body, as he's a sign of many mysteries. Now, what I'm saying to you, that's Christ is only symbolism. Muhammad is the real thing. He's not a myth. He's not a symbol. He's not a sign. He's a flesh and blood man that lived. And historians have written about him that were not Muslims. So wake up and see the great opportunity before you. To come into the great life of Al-Islam, become an established community and an established people with guidance to guide your feet, to guide your destiny, to bring you into abundance of life and prosperity if you will only wake up and be true to this calling. Yes, wake up before it's too late. In my conclusion today, this is the last time you'll look upon me as your leader. I'm not the leader for anybody. I don't accept to be your leader. I'm Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad. I will be the Imam wherever I reside. I don't accept responsibility for you, your investments, your places, your decisions. You better carry it yourself. I don't intend to ever meet with the imams as their advisor. You have to advise yourself. Take the Quran, take the life of Muhammad, Make your decisions. Do not use me as your excuse anymore. I'm not available. And if you would follow my advice, you would put down the term American Muslim Mission. You would put it down. You would never pick up any term that lop you all together in one community. You'll be members of a Muslim community that is international. You will have masjids and imams. You will have AMCOP, collective buying. You'll have political awareness committees. You will have businesses, private and private businesses, private concerns. You will bring nothing under centralized thing anymore. You'll be called by masjid names. You'll be free to walk into any masjid and be recognized as a Muslim, just like Muslims are in the international Muslim world. You will hold your imam accountable. You will encourage your imam to form good relations with other imams. Not just black ones, but white ones, red ones, they're all color. When you meet together, you won't meet together under some corporate name. But you will meet together as imams and on equal standing. You will form your council upon your own decision, upon your own will, not pressured to do it. You will limit the power of your council to nothing but representing the interests, the aspirations, the concerns of your masjid. Find opportunity to work together when it's necessary. You will not require any such counsel for any unnecessary purpose at all. In other words, you will work for a minimum of control over your body, because God wants you to show the responsibility yourself. I've always had a problem in my soul accepting that religion be organized or institutionalized to the extent that it becomes a corporation, a corporate entity, a good situation to be exploited by the powerful. Yes, but if you follow the guidance of God, if you have the free, open Islamic society that God intends for you, then you are not an enticement, a temptation, an invitation to the exploiters from the powerful, from the rich. But if they see you have a tight-knit, well-organized, strongly organized thing wherein there's an individual, a group of individuals dictating to many, that's a good situation for them. It's ideally structured and tailored for their exploits. But if you get rid of that and have an open, free Islamic society, and you come together as imams, not belonging to American Muslim Mission, that was a step from another thing that even was more institutionalized. The old temple of the Nation of Islam. So I brought you a step away from that. Now I'm not telling you to drop that, but I'm advising you that if you want to really be Islamic community, you should drop these names that separate you and set you apart from other Islamic populations. And you should work as one Muslim. Muslim is one all over the earth. You should work as one Muslim with one Muslim identity, following the same Quran, following the same human model. Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. That's the way you should go. Don't you know you can achieve the things you want to achieve better if you do it without this situation for... enemy sabotage? Yes, you can do it much better. Private enterprise. Private enterprise. Form together in groups as you have been doing. Don't you think that's progress? I do. I don't control the businesses in the Muslim community. I have nothing at all to do with them. The businesses are under private business people. And as a result, we have better business and more progress for business in the Muslim community than we ever had. When you look at this brochure that is coming out now, the 10th anniversary brochure, you will see more businesses represented in that magazine, and I believe that it doesn't carry not even 100th of the businesses that are in this community. And to make that brochure that the Temple of Islam or the Nation of Islam made some years ago, they went and searched carefully, not only for Nation of Islam businesses, but for those who had, against the spirit of the Nation of Islam, defied the policy of the Nation of Islam and set up businesses on their own. They went and got those businesses too and pulled other people's business in to show what the nation was doing. And not only that, they also, yes, thank you very much. They also went and took pictures of private dwellings, homes that belonged to private individuals. How I know, because they took the picture of my brother's home, and he bought his own home. It was not the Nation of Islam home. It was his own home. And there were other homes, too, in this picture magazine that showed the progress of the then Temple or Nation of Islam. So they went and got all these properties to make a big, impressive picture, a presentation of what the Muslims had accomplished. It was not a truthful presentation. But if you look at what's in here, it's truthful. Because I don't have any promotion psychology or program to take properties and put them in a magazine to impress non-Muslims that we are a rich empire. I don't have such policy or philosophy. Now, the businesses in Atlanta alone are very impressive. And we have them in the South, we have them in the Midwest, we have them all over. But there's no loud noise being made about it. It's a natural development. A natural development, not nothing exaggerated. It's happening in a very natural way. It's going to grow bigger and bigger. It's going to grow bigger and bigger. Do you know most of the members in our community, by the standards of this society, still represent the poorest materially and the most unlearned academically? Although we have members in our community now, many that we didn't have, who have graduated from high school and now an impressive number from colleges. We have more doctors in our community than we ever had before. But even with that growth or change in the education level or the academic level of the membership, we still represent the poorest of the African American people and also the least educated of the African American people. Our membership, that is. But our membership as a body identifiable in the low level, the poor level, the low stratum of people in the African American race, that particular group we call the members under this particular voice, if they would be studied, they would be found to be more progressive than any other similar group in these United States. We represent progress, real progress. In fact, we represent so much progress until I'm always hearing from non-Muslims this: we are depending on you all. We are depending on you all. We have this, we have that, but you all have something that we don't have. That's what I'm hearing from them. My father had no education, no more education than 3 years elementary school in the South, where schools were inferior at that time and may be in this time. Many of the schools are still rated inferior to northern schools. Is that not right? My father had only 3 years education. My mother went to the eighth grade but did not graduate from elementary school. My mother. My youngest brother has his doctorate degree. I am a man that's highly respected for wisdom and insight. Yes. And we come from that, from mama and dad, Elijah Muhammad and Clara Muhammad, who used to be, was before they became Muslim, I took on those names, Elijah Poole and Clara Evans. And our children are performing on a very high level. Yes. Daughter, a student of IIT, Illinois Tech. I got a son, he looks very bright. He's, in fact, his teacher who's with him now says that he is performing on the level of 12th graders. 12th graders. And he is not yet graduated from high school. He will graduate in June, inshallah. Yes, this is what I'm told. And I believe it because I know him too. I have experiences with him too, I know. I believe that he actually, if he had the help, encouragement and the help and the circumstances, he could go straight out of elementary school into college. He wouldn't even have to go into high school. I know that myself. He's better now than a lot of freshmen in high school. His ability is better. He's here, I don't like to say it in front of him, he's there. He's wondering, say, what are you talking about, Dad? That's Sadi, Sadruddin. Yes. But not just my family. There are many other Muslims. Brother Hazim Ali, he has a child too in IIT. Another brother, another sister, they have a daughter in IIT. In fact, there's about 4 or 5 children from the Muslim community here in Chicago in IIT. IIT is one of the hardest schools to get into in Chicago or in Illinois. See, we used to give credit to the old Temple of Islam. So, yeah, that's because of the Temple of Islam. Well, what about Layla and Sadi and Engina? They ain't the product of the Temple of Islam. They've been under my tutelage more than they've been under anybody else's. That's right. It's because of the broad concepts. The broadness of the mind and concept that our children are courageous enough to take on responsibility, tackle these subjects, not be afraid or intimidated. Most of us have inherited fear, shame, low self-esteem, or either artificial ego. And we go to these institutions of the white man and we can't make it, either because we are not in tune with reality and have an ego that's too big and artificial, or because that we have been shortchanged because of the environment and the environmental circumstances for ourselves. This religion has brought us to see the needs, to create the right environment, to work on improving the environment, to bring concepts that are natural and broad to the minds of our children. And because of that, our children are excelling. Our school is going to be the best. Right. Yes, the Clara Muhammad Private School here in this Chicago. It's going to be the best. Yes, sir. How do I know? Because I know we got the best. We got the best vision. We got the best plan for the school. Our school is going to be the best. We're going to put out the best mind, the best products. If you all would join me, in a little while, you'll be dominant in this city. You would. The power would come to you. You would. The power would come to you. Why? Because they are wasted out there. This is not me talking. This is what their own examination, evaluation has concluded, that the public school system is a waste. The white man, he has taken his best out of the public school. He's dealing with it privately with his own money. Huh? And he leaves his poor whites and you poor folks to have the shambles that are left. The quality of the teachers is nothing. The spirit and drive in them has gone. All they're looking for is animal pleasures, animal rewards. Money and Saturday night kicks. Am I telling the truth or not? Okay, so you see, this is a fortunate situation for you. Come and support me. Join my leadership. Support me. Say, oh, but I heard you just retired from leadership. Certainly. You dumbbell, you. I didn't say I'm going to stop talking. I said I'm going to stop doing your work. So accept the direction. Come into Islam. Accept the direction that we offer. Learn what we are doing here in Chicago. If you have a situation to reproduce it or to do better, do it where you are. And encourage your people to come into this religion. This is the religion. This is the place of religious freedom for the African-American person. So tomorrow, inshallah, we will continue this subject. And we want to alert you to the evils, the danger for the dangerous possibilities for a community that is not alert and educated, informed. How it can easily be taken over by people who don't have your interest at heart. And because you don't know what you represent or what you should be, they can lead you in the name of your religion to a foreign course and a contrary end. We don't want that. We're going to work to fight it. We're going to work to stop it. We hope tomorrow to show you and to get you to see and agree with your own mind upon your own decision that the solution we have here in America to bring African-American man up and African-American families up and African-American community up is the same that's needed in Africa and everywhere else that black people are existing today. The same is needed. They have the same problems in their spirit, same problem in their soul that we have over here. In fact, in many places they have a worse problem, a worse situation than we have. You're not going to come out of it by trying to follow your own whims, your own opinions, whimsical opinions that you dream up. I thank God for saving us from dependency on dream thinking. You follow a logic, tried and proven logic, for establishing individuals and society. The Quranic road, the Islamic guideline. That's the answer, and we've gone into the night. We have to make Maghrib prayer. We don't have the situation here for it. And that's another thing. We should never have programs that does not provide also accommodation for our religious obligations, and prayer is a very sincere, very important one. It's one of the five essential pillars of this religion. We should never have a program and agenda that omit, disregard our obligation to pray our five daily prayers. So I conclude this talk, and I hope that you have seen in it progress. Progress. I don't make a decision in the interest of myself. I make a decision in the interest of pleasing God, number one, and that means progress. My vision is for progress. And I know that the best way to progress in this country is to have a situation that enables individuals to carry the greatest amount of responsibility for their own circumstances, for their own lives. Don't be afraid to invest. Invest. Invest your time, invest your knowledge, invest your energies, invest your money. But do it with a sober mind. Do it in a practical way. Be practical in your thinking. Follow the best advice. Be a Muslim. That is, be obedient to the Quran and to the Sunnah of the Prophet. Be very serious. Don't take unnecessary risks. But don't be too distrustful. Find people that share your same aspirations. And you're struggling, you don't have much to work with. Join those people who share your same aspirations. Don't be afraid to trust each other. And work hard together to improve the situation in your life. Compete with the rich. Compete with the powerful. This is what Allah wants for us. Don't you know some of the powerful rich people today were poor just 5 years ago? Yes. Some of the most powerful and richest people today, right now, on this calendar day, were 5 years ago poor. But they had the vision and the courage to find the resources and invest that time and their energy and to trust each other and build a great thing. That's all you need. You don't have to be poor. You're poor and weak because you don't have courage. You don't even have the courage to trust another good person. Reading the Quran and following its direction and learning more about the how that it is to be lived by studying the life of Muhammad will bring you out of that situation, and you will become a progressive, productive people. We are realizing some progress, but not near enough. I hear they're coming out with another issue of a journal, which would be another special issue, and it's quite needed because they were recalling the achievements of the community. And the first achievement, quite naturally, was achievement for bringing this religious community to be true to its name, to be true Muslim, to have the true content. But another great achievement was to remove the structures of slavery, decentralize the interests of the community, the business interests of the community, bring it into private hands, remove the unit called FOI and MGT, and bring a situation where every imam have dignity, every congregation has dignity, all of them on an equal footing, free as they should be to invest in their own immediate region and build their community locally without having so much demanded of them from a central office. Freedom, Islamic freedom, is another great achievement that you have realized since I became your leader. So another paper is coming out, and I hope they won't forget these things. Also in my travel abroad, this particular house we're in right now was under heavy liability. We had to pay about $240,000 periodically to Libya on loan. It was killing us, strangling us to death. My policy was different, so we had different policies. We weren't forcing people to come up with donations and quotas of donations. So the money just wasn't here. So how are we going to pay all these big debts? How are we going to answer all these big demands on us, financial demands on us? I went to Libya in the name of Allah, and I asked the Libyan government.